Lime, duh.
Yeah. Wah. Let's do it again, baby. From the road. Hello.
Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling Road Diaries podcast, the podcast where comedians, or one comedian, dissects wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I'm your host, the host, the most, Dan Black, a.k.a. Dansky, Black Adamora, a.k.a. Donnie Wrestling, clapping for myself, Donnie Wrestling, in a hotel room, but clapping for myself, a.k.a. the modern day, Goof and Spoof, Donnie Capri, from the time I went to Haraja. Coming at you like Cleopatra, baby, gabba wee. This girl, she is mine, and damn, she's fine.
Holy motherfucking shit!
What up, jabroniacs? We are back in action for your satisfaction with all of our spicy, muy, muy caliente wrestling reactions from the road. We are continuing our Road Diaries episodes. Well, I am on the road working on a television show right now. I am right now in sunny North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina, home of the Charlotte Hornets. I've never been here before. Lovely city. Shout out to all the jabroniacs in Charlotte. Thank you for all that you have given me. But anyway, while I'm here, we don't have cash-ins, okay? No one's being, normally on the show, we have voicemails. People leave voicemails for the show, and I will play them on the show, but we call those cash-ins. I'm going to be cashing out and making some phone calls to some of the jabroniacs who will pick up. Some of these are going to be in real time. We'll see if they actually pick up. But before we get into it, I would like to tell you about Patreon.com/comedians of wrestling. If you like the show, obviously we're grassroots. I'm recording right now in the middle of my hotel room, late at night, like a fucking maniac. If you want to support this grassroots show, you dig what we're doing, you're picking up what we're putting down. If you smell what I am cooking,
if you smell what The Rock
is cooking, patreon.com/comedians of wrestling. Get access to our bonus episodes. Our bonus episode this week is going to be, ooh, that's right, it's the Steve Austin Says bonus episode. I'm going to be talking about the first two episodes of Stone Cold's new reality show at USA. I got a lot to say about it. Check it out if you haven't seen it yet. It's a good time. We're going to be joined by a special guest on that episode. Should be fun. That's going to go for patrons. So it's the first two episodes of the show because I know I owe you guys some of that. But before we get into all the spicy wrestling stuff, I just want to say, I want to give a special. What do I got? Oh, well, you know, I want to give a special shout out to a special jabroniac. And I need the proper... I need the proper sound drop to do it.
Right there, nice ribbon right there.
Randy,
right there.
Yeah. To
not gonna wait for
Randy,
nothing.
Come on, you're supposed to wait a few.
Got a blender, yeah.
You got a blender. That is from Macho Man's wedding, and I want to give a special shout out to a jabroniac who is getting married this weekend. A jabroniac, patroniac, longtime listener, supporter of the show, Jason Carr, getting married. Congratulations to your beautiful fiance, soon to be wife, Kelly Cripps. Congratulations, dude. Have a fucking rocking wedding, and hopefully it stays good. It doesn't get
under siege.
And hopefully you come down to a wrestling song. You tell us all about it. And I know you were at SmackDown this week. That's a great way to kick off your wedding week. I think you're at Raw. But anyway, congratulations, Mazel Tov, all that. And thank you for supporting the show, bro. Bro. Okay, great. Now,
shock the system.
Okay, before we get into it, I'm going to call up a jabroniac. What I want to just talk about wrestling for a second. So I just want to say I'm on the road right now, and so basically, you know, I'm working right now. I'm on a writing job, and I'm writing. The show evolves last minute. You know what I'm saying? So I end up working very late hours. Okay, I'm working. Like I'm recording this podcast right now, it is midnight 15, 12:15. And when I'm done recording, I'm going to do some work, frankly. And it's all good. I love it. It's awesome. You know, working on anything comedy related, I dig it. I just want to say, it's so amazing how my, depending on my schedule, how my relationship with wrestling changes. Because boy, oh boy, the length of wrestling, which has been, you know, something on this podcast we have criticized, but when I'm up late at night and I just need some, like, something in AK, I mean, you know, in the background, or just something just to put on, there's a never-ending list of wrestling stuff that I have not watched, matches. I watched so much of the G1 while I was just writing comedy. And I'm talking, like, you know, in the matches that you want to skip over, just a six-man tag where it's like, oh, Okada's not booked tonight, but people want to see Okada, so let's take all the guys and let's put them in a six-man tag. New Japan, they love the six-man tag. And you're like, I'm so appreciative of the quantity of wrestling this week. This is what I want to say. And it's like, do we really, you know, when we talk about, oh, the show should be shorter. Yeah, for Raw, creatively, it should. But man, I just want to give a shout out to the times when I'm loving the quantity. In the past 2 weeks, the quantity have been really keeping me company, to be honest. I, like, the other night, I was sitting in the hotel lobby writing till, like, 3-4 in the morning, honestly. And I'm there, and I'm like, man, if I could just put on wrestling, and it's like keeping me company. Just, you know, the stuff I was watching was just kind of in the background. I didn't even get to pay that close of attention. It wasn't Raw or SmackDown. It was like, just like I'm saying, these G1 matches, and I put on some ROH actually. And you're like, just the sound of it puts me at ease. Even when I have anxiety, just the sound of wrestling is like, whatever the beach, whatever the people are getting from the beach, you know, just the waves. I got to hear, like, the bell, and I get the beautiful bell, and just the fans, just some, just the that, you know, that noise from that pyro, that shit pyro, what is that, cryo pyro that just pops up, you know, that Chiefs thing that's just like, you hear that? I love that. I love just metal, just like a that rock metal, that out of date wrestling music, but still works for wrestling. Well, I mean, I got tons of it here. What do I got? Oh man, which one's out of date that I got? No, these are, I don't have. No, these are, all these are good. But anyway, the point is that music is playing. I love it. I love hearing the wrestler's voice, like, underneath it. Like, you hear him just, whatever he's saying, you know? Like, when Punk would say, it's clobbering time. But just some wrestlers just talk while the music's going. Cena does that. You're like, Cena's coming out. Here, when Cena's entering, and his music playing. And just like, you know, I said it. We're going to do it again. Look around, man. There's this many people here. Everything's happening, blah, blah, blah. And then he jets down the ring. I love that. And I love hearing sometimes a crowd, an audience member's voice picks up. I don't know. I love it. I love it. It's been great. So anyway, thank you for keeping me company on the road. Professional wrestling. There are times where I think there's too much of you. There's times where sometimes I struggle to find the time for you. But there's times when I need you. Like, you're like the Toy Story. Whenever people are getting from the Toy Story toys, you're always there for me like a good old dog. And thank you. Thank you for professional wrestling. Beautiful. Now, anyway, let's get into it. Let's ring the bell here. Okay, so, man, NXT is going to be on USA. The big announcement, I think September 18th is the day, so it's coming soon. On Wednesday nights, let's see. Let's make it. I'm gonna make a call out here because, I mean, let's talk about this. Here we go. Bear with me on the calls here. Doing it again. Doing it myself here in the hotel room.
What up?
Yo, Aaron, what up? You're on the pod from across the country.
Nation.
What is up? Okay, I got you here.
Not much.
Okay, let's get into it. I'm cashing out. I'm calling in for you. I'm extending a lifeline.
Let's go. Cash out, baby.
Okay. By the way, I'm in a hotel room right now, and it, on the whole, it actually says phone a friend is like on one of their pamphlets here. Like, that's still something they think still a good joke for this hotel.
So I'm like your lifeline.
Yeah, you're my lifeline right now. Here, let's get into it. We have no time for chit chat. We got to get into NXT. So
let's
NXT,
let's go.
NXT on, what's it, September 18th?
Yes.
I think something like that. Coming on Wednesday, nights will be a 2-hour live show. Is it from Full Sail? That's one thing I meant to look up that I didn't look up. But I imagine they're not like shifting
now. I saw someone commented that it's still going to be, I think that there's rumblings that it's still going to be done at Full Sail.
Oh, well, that's cool. I dig that. But I feel like it's so, that's such a small, I mean, that's part of what's cool about it, but that is a small, for a show that's on USA, I feel like it might feel too small in there. I don't know.
I kind of dig it. It's like micro, and then the main roster is like the macro. You know what I mean?
Right. So let me ask you, I'll give you the first take. What are your thoughts on NXT? First off, are you an NXT fan?
I'm a loose NXT fan. Okay. Like, I love some of the talent in NXT, and I watch every takeover. I try to go to takeover, but I don't watch, I'll admit it, every week.
Yeah. I catch most weeks, but most of the time way after we record the pod. And then by the time we record, it's already old news.
Yeah,
it's not, doesn't fit into the cycle, which by the way, now we have the full scope of what the fall's going to look like. So it looks, I still haven't thought about how we change up this recording schedule, but this means that Monday night is Raw. Tuesday night is off, which is shocking. I thought one of these shows would stand Tuesday.
Yeah, totally.
Tuesday feels like the money night for me because I guess it depends. I'd be interested to see what the nation, the Jabroniac Nation, how they feel about this. But my thought is always like when I'm in wrestling mode, I'm in wrestling mode. I never think of like that. I think if I take a day off, I probably going back into it takes work. Like I'm an inertia person. I'm a momentum person.
Yeah, you got to get that momentum. Yeah, it's weird to have Tuesday off. I think it's a bold move to, you know, double up on Wednesdays. You know what I mean?
Right. Double or nothing up. But I think
double
like
or nothing
double
up.
Or nothing up. We're all out anyway. Everybody's all in. But I think, So Tuesday. Like when there's a good episode of Monday Night Raw, right? I'm like, yo, fuck it. Yeah. I'm juked up. And I'm like, yo, wrestling is the best shit ever. I got to keep going. Then I want to roll into Tuesday. But one day off can make me forget how much I love wrestling. It's what we were talking about last week. Where it's like wrestling is such high highs. You know, it's hard to explain to people who are not into wrestling. Be like, when wrestling is best, and I think I'm attracted to all because improv is similar in that way. But like, when wrestling is the best, nothing touches it. No form of entertainment can touch what wrestling does.
Oh, absolutely not.
That's what's hard to explain to people. But that's how I felt like with improv, the funniest improv. See, most people see bad improv, and most improv is bad. But the funniest long form improv you've ever seen. Is funnier than anything that I stand by.
Right.
Okay. And that's John Belushi has been quoted as saying that. And I agree with that. Well, he said like improv is better than sex.
It's a great parallel.
They love to do that. Like in like the 60s, everything was like compared to sex. That was the benchmark. You know what I mean? Now it's like,
now it's like,
it's better than your iPhone or whatever. And now it's like, whatever.
I mean, the better than sex metaphor was like pre-AIDS crisis, you know?
Oh, that is true. AIDS really ruined that metaphor. So anyway, NXT is
Tuesday's
going on Wednesday.
Going
so Tuesday's
Wednesday.
Off. And then Wednesdays is AEW and NXT. Both, like, the Monday Night Wars are happening. Like, it feels like they're happening on Wednesdays now. Like, it feels like the Monday Night
Wars. Yeah, it's a Wednesday Night War.
You're going to be flipping back between AEW and NXT. Like, I think I haven't really wrapped my head around that. But, like, that's truly what. Now, that's not what's going to be happening because most people are going to watch. Probably most people are going to watch NXT on Thursday on the network. is probably what people
on demand.
Right. Because they'll just be like, I'll just watch AEW. They have that. But if this was true Monday Night Wars, Monday is still like solidly WWE's night, you know? So.
Yeah, totally.
And then. All right, so you have, and then Thursday off again, and then Friday, SmackDown. I think the show that's going to get the most shafted is SmackDown, which is weird because it's the highest, it's the most important of all the shows, like, in terms of the fact it's on Fox. Like, that's a, it's on network, it's on network television, which is still, for whatever reason, a big deal. You know?
Yeah, I know. But yeah, it has a real like gravitas because it's on like network TV and it's Friday prime time.
So, but right now, I guess if you think about it in terms of this, now what's happened is we were talking about this the other day, which is that like, okay, well, if we turn to like, if you're trying to be, I don't know what you call us, but if you're trying to be like a mark, all right, if you're trying to be like a standard issue mark, right? Okay, that means that you're watching 3 hours Monday. Now, 4 hours on Wednesday, if you're counting AEW, and then another 2 hours on Friday. I can't do this math, by the way. I think that's seven plus
that's
two.
You're checking in nine. At 9 hours during the work week right now, which is like if you added another work day to the Monday to Friday work week.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
So, like, yeah, wrestling right now is asking for you, for another day of labor.
yes. You're putting in overtime now.
It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. So then on Sundays, you might have another 4 hour dip.
Yeah. And, if there's a takeover too, that's another, I mean, like every pay per view is like a 6 hour event. So that's 15 hours. And then if you add a 4 hour NXT pay per view on Saturday, counting pre shows, that's like maybe 20, 22 hours of wrestling. In a, pay-per-view.
What is WWE's, like, if you think about it, like, what do you think WWE's thought process is for the way, like how do they want their consumers, when they're sitting down and they're, like, coming up with the game plan, not that we're going to even have this answer, is their thought, like, let's just, like, bombard, let's make them... They want to get us into that like Black Mirror episode where we're like on the workout bicycle and we have to just watch only wrestling. You know what I'm saying? Or do they want it to be like the news, which is how I used to watch wrestling. I used to watch wrestling as the news, which I think is a beautiful thing to do. And I think that's like the beauty of like things like this podcast and stuff is like wrestling.
Right.
There's so much content. So what you do is you put it on like the news. And it's always been my plan this was my plan about if they just redid the network. The network, you should turn that on and it should look like fucking CNN when you turn it on. It should be scrolling.
With a ticker on the bottom.
Yeah. It should be like Wrestling Matters. They should treat wrestling like it matters as much as world news. It should be like every fucking noon, Michael Cole comes out from a comes out like a podium and is like, hey, here's the updates from the day. Austin Theory just reported to the performance center, like he's looking good. And then we talk to him in the back, and he's there just be like, yeah, just got here today. You got good towels here. Like, who cares? Like, it doesn't, whatever.
The water's really cold today.
Yeah.
Let's cut to Renee over at the news desk.
Right,
and then she delivers, headlines from today.
Right.
And then, like, you know, the cow show is on at night.
What they should have. They should have, like, us coming on at night just being like, oh, my God, guys. So Batista tweeted out a picture of himself in a towel. Let's zoom in on this. Like, that's what they should be. If their goal is to bombard with talent, with a content, it's like.
Yeah.
And by the way, I've even pitched them shit like this too. They don't take it.
You know what they should do, like, you know how like Howard used to have the show was like half an hour in the studio.
Howard 100 News and all
that
stuff.
They should have us.
Right.
Yeah. But we should have the half hour slot at like 1 a.m. and they just show the live recording of our show.
Well, they do this jabroni versions of this shit, which is like they have that watch-along party, which is, oh my God. That's a party you don't even want to RSVP to. I mean, look, there's there's good people in there, but it's real weird. It's like just...
Yeah, I hear you.
Anyway, so I'm saying like if their thought process, if WB's thought process is like, we're going to overload, they have to know that like this is too much content for the average consumer to watch all of it, right? They don't seem to have a good plan for catching people up. What it is, because you can't turn on the network like the news and just be like, or like forget, talk about SportsCenter. It's like, right. I can't watch every single game. Now we're in the zone of I can't watch every single match, which I love. I love the quantity of wrestling, especially I was saying in the opening of the show, you didn't hear, like the quantity is dope when I'm like on the road right now and I'm saying I'm working late nights and stuff, and like sometimes I just want to put on something, some wrestling, so I could put on the full G1 tournament. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
That's what's so cool is that it keeps me company. I like the noise. I like the sound of wrestling. It's familiar. It makes me feel like if I'm in a city in a hotel, like it makes me in an empty lobby writing jokes. I feel like company. So I like the quantity, but they don't have, their system right now is pushing it. They're really pushing it, even for serious marks like myself, that they're like model right now is watch every minute of this. That's what the model is.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem, because I totally hear you, like putting it on, you know, if you're traveling or you're out of your element, it is like comforting and it's cool just to turn on like whatever. It's kind of almost even inconsequential what you turn on. But the fact that they make it feel like everything is must see, you don't have that option to just be like, oh, I'm going to flick it on Wednesday and see what's popping off on NXT, because everything feels so important. And I think that they did that because they have all these titles and 10,000 things going on all have stakes, you know?
Yeah. See, now something like a tournament structure feels like something that's like I can follow that in a sports center-y kind of way, but even like whatever, I'm done criticizing New Japan. They don't seem to want to at all cater to me. It's crazy that like Kota Ibushi won the G1 and I barely heard about it. I'm so clued into wrestling.
This is literally the first I've heard that he won.
Right. We watch too much wrestling for this to be like, not, I didn't, I follow their Instagrams. None of this is popping up on my, none of this is popping up on my feed here. Nothing.
No. I mean, I wish it would, but it just doesn't. I mean, like the source for me for G1 content is our page. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
That's where I get the news. And even there, I don't think I even heard the Ibushi one.
Talk about wrestling at 4 in the morning.
4 in the morning, under his eyes.
Blessed be the fruit. Okay, back to NXT. This is the biggest news of the week. So I'm saying, right now, my plan, what I'm saying is with wrestling needs it needs a channel. We need a pro wrestling television channel, right?
Love
and
that idea.
It should be like, you turn it on, and just same thing as SportsCenter. Right? I would watch this shit all day. I'd put this thing on and I would just keep it on in the house. It would be on every second, you know?
It's just how, like, you know, my mom leaves MSNBC on literally all day long and just tunes in and out and, like, goes about her day and then checks in. You could just have it on. And when you clicked over, you would enjoy it.
Absolutely. I wouldn't even care. I keep it on all day. They would show me 40 times in a row. I'd watch the same Ospreay clip, flip, like they show like some, right? I wouldn't care. Like it's just on to like, it's just to like make the room less static or whatever. Yeah, it's great. And then if there's breaking news, like Austin Theory is talking about the towels at the Performance Center, then we cut to that, you know?
Breaking news live from Full Sail in Florida. Austin Theory has just entered the Performance Center.
He's very happy with the towels.
Walking out his backpack.
Yeah. And anyway, so cool. So that's what I'm saying. So that needs to be, this needs to be addressed pronto. But our schedule, I'm like, when am I going to record the pod? Man,
I know.
So are we saying that if I record before Wednesday, and I love it, like every time we have this conversation on the pod, it ends with like, all right, we'll talk about this off the air. Which like,
yeah, or we'll figure it out later. But now it's like, if you look at the calendar, like later is kind of now.
Well, it got locked this week. It's officially now locked in. So we know it because NXT was rumored. So I knew that was happening, but I didn't know when. So anyway,
We have to get like a think tank together to figure out how we're going to get the show recorded and on in a timely fashion. And the content that we talk about is still relevant.
That's right. Anyway, it's going to be nuts. Let's talk about it. So NXT.
We're going to crunch numbers, you guys.
It's going to happen, people. It's
going to
happen. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. Trust me. Trust me.
Yeah.
We're going to be winning. We're going to be covering.
Trust me.
many people are into it. But okay, so here's the deal. NXT on Wednesday nights. 2 hours. Yeah. So how does that hit you, NXT being now no longer... Are we worried? I put a poll out to the Jabroni Egg Nation since I'm non-studio without the cash-ins. I'm doing polls on the Facebook group.
I love that.
And this poll I asked, are you worried? Are you excited for NXT on USA live 2 hours a week? Or are you worried with the extra hour and the additional ratings pressure now being on cable television?
You know what? I didn't consider ratings pressure, but I am now, and that is a concern. I guess
there's ads on the show. So ads on the show mean that the show is fueled by revenue dollars. And if advertisers are not interested in it, then that's a problem. You know what I mean? That's related to ratings. There's no way around that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess for me, I'm not worried. I have a few concerns. I think if Hunter is still running the show and he is really truly calling the shots, even though there is like bigger money involved and we have those ad dollars coming in, then I think we may be in good hands. The part that concerns me is I like NXT as 1 hour. I think it's tight. It's cool. You know, when I do watch it, it's like very digestible. Even if you're like tuned out for a little while, it's clear what's popping off. And, you know, you double the length of that and then you get like real commercials, not just network commercials. And like I did the math, it's like 32 minutes of commercials and 88 minutes of content.
Right.
So like, you know, you're getting like an extra, you know, 28 minutes, give or take what you would get on the network minus whatever commercials they run. So I guess like I'm concerned about that part because I don't know like.
Where is Bugenhagen is what we're all thinking.
Wednesday night Bugenhagen.
Wednesday night. Are you ready for Wednesday night Bugenhagen? By the way, changing his name to Boogs was my biggest. Of all the shortenings of names, I just want to say, that one I hated the most. That one really bothered me the most. The fact that he's a goof character and his name was Eric Bugenhagen. And the first time it popped up on the screen, which I think was the only time he ever was on television. And he made such a splash and they took him right off of TV. I don't know. But
dude,
I was like,
that is such
a fucking funny, not catchy name that it was like catchy because you had to work to memorize it. You know?
Totally agree. And yeah, they botched that one. I think NXT on live TV Wednesday nights with ads, I think it will be fine and good. And I also see like the pros of it. Like, you know, you talk a lot about how they don't get enough time like on the mic to develop their skills in that area. Like maybe this show now they'll have the chance to do that more and to work on it. But there's also like someone like Joe Kibler said is that, you know, there may not, the concept of like coming up to the main roster might not even be as much of a thing. Like this will be the cool show that competes directly with AEW and it will be for grownups. And then you'll have the mainstream shit on Mondays and Fridays, you know?
Yeah. Be right after Suits. But okay, so and between Suits and Burn Notice on USA, you can watch NXT Bugenhagen right in between Blue Collar and what's another Suits. USA show? Suit and Psych.
Straight up, Steve Austin's still on Mondays.
Yeah,
so
talking,
Growing Up, Chris Lee Knows Best.
Yeah. Okay, so here's my take on the NXT. I'm gonna let you know, and I think you've touched on it. I think this is only a good thing. I think that ultimately, I was thinking about it. I was like, I see the little negatives. I think all the negatives are outweighed. And here's my take. My take is, first off, you can't stop progress. That's the first thing. If you make something good, it's going to grow. That's just, that's America. That's what it is, you know? And if so, if you have an opportunity to grow it, you got to take it, you know, keeping it small.
Right.
Once you get offered the opportunity, it changes everything. So it's like, whatever. That just is what it is. The next thing is that we have a massive problem in WWE. And it created AEW. And the problem is that there's main roster, WWE. It's more of a broad variety show with publicly traded company with stockholders to play to and extremely broad non-connoisseur audience, right?
People and just, children.
Kids, right? So it's a PG show. We're all hooked on wrestling because of the Attitude Era. Not all, but many people, many.
Many people.
Most of the reasons you watch wrestling are non-existent from the main roster product. And there is an element of people watching it for the little times when it does touch on that, which they do a nice job of. And also,
agree.
Right. And so what's happened, so right now we have this system that's broken. It's this false notion. It's happened. It happens in comedy communities. It happens in schools everywhere, where there's this false, what I call in life, validation traps. Where it's like, okay, I'm going to do a great job at NXT, and then I get rewarded by going to the main roster, right? You're like, that's it, which is actually not a reward for many of these wrestlers, you know?
For most people, I agree.
And the skill, so there's a thing called the Peter Principle, I believe it's called. I think that's what it's called. I've said this before, where it's the concept of rising to a state of incompetence. Right. So you're rewarded in life. So for the best example of it is, okay, if you do a great job as a teacher, your reward is you become the principal. Okay. Which is an administrative job. You're now out of the classroom. Yep. You're not teaching kids. You're overseeing other teachers. Was that your skill? I don't know.
Yeah, right.
Sometimes it might work. That's kind of like what's going on right now with wrestling, where it's like you're great at NXT style wrestling, and then you get raised to you get put, it's almost like you're great at wrestling and then your reward is to become a clown. You know?
I know.
Like, I mean, a clown is understating what they do on the main roster, and also it's not
I agree. You're being promoted to basically dance on this mainstream product, which it's not really even parallel to what you've been doing at Full Sail.
And the other weird thing about it is that it doesn't really equate to like a sports metaphor where it's like you were the best player in your high school. And then when you got to the major league, when you got to college or whatever, the major leagues, you were not as good anymore. That's also not what's happening here. It's actually just a completely different sport. It's more like, all right, you got great at football, and then they're like, okay, cool, now we want you to be in the choir. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, now it's like open in the choir. We're moving you into it.
Okay, now you can argue these metaphors. There's a little wiggle room for all of them, but I think the point has been driven home, which is in wrestling, the work rate in professional wrestling has grown to an insane degree. When I watched during the Attitude Era, I didn't give two shits about the wrestling. The wrestling part was I only cared about that. Like the same reason I liked Mortal Kombat, which is like I liked the finishers. I liked the finishing, the fatalities.
Yeah.
Right? I'd be like, oh, that's cool.
Right, the pageantry, the finishers, the drama.
Yeah, I like the stunners.
All the things that aren't in-ring. Yeah, well, who doesn't? And all the in-ring stuff kind of like did take a backseat to that. But I think I agree. It's not that way.
Yeah, no. Like Jake the Snake, they're like, oh, he told a great story in the ring. He's like, truthfully, I didn't give two shits about it when I was younger, you know? So every once in a while, I'd be like, oh, this is a great match. But I was not watching wrestling for matches, you know?
Right.
And I think a lot of people would agree with that. And then now I watch wrestling for matches. Like now, it's not the only thing I watch for. I like matches, but I'm saying that is a, it's not even, it's not like a refined palate, but it's more like I watch wrestling for more variety of reasons. That's why I'll watch so many hours of it, because I get different things. I can watch that Goldberg-Ziggler squash and understand that the same way I can watch Okada-Ibushi. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, or whatever. Totally. Like,
so I think that, so we have, so now wrestling has become a bigger entertainment. It's more, it's because it's a more advanced than sport. It's a full on theater production, right? And there's different plays within this theater. And so NXT is a whole different play or whatever, right? It's a different style of theater. And people are getting great at that. They're getting amazing at it. And then they're going to the main roster and then they're not succeeding there. So now, NXT is, my point is that what they're doing in NXT, it belongs to be its own brand. It's not, it's,
I agree.
That it is a different brand. Wrestling is bigger than just, if you're just, oh, there's one show. It's become big. And that's why AEW spawned. Now, so that's great because some talents, my thing is, and we don't know how this is going to play out, but assuming this plays out the way I'm thinking, is some talents stay in NXT, like a Johnny Gargano.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Right?
Yeah, and like, that's the thing that until this point had worried me, because I love Undisputed Era. I love Adam Cole.
Right.
But then, and you've mentioned it before too, like what happens to Adam Cole when he comes to the main roster? You
know, he gets a demotion, like, baby.
Yeah, he gets a demotion. Adam demotion, baby. But
right.
Like, it's just, he doesn't necessarily fit into the mold that exists on the main roster, but he's perfect in NXT. So
perfect.
And I mean, and yeah, and also there's like wild cards. Like you don't know, like Velveteen Dream is such a sensation, but like you don't know what it looks like when he's on Monday Night Raw on cable.
Right.
You know?
But a guy like,
and that's scary.
Right. I think a guy, I think that popping between the brands will only be cool, you know?
Yeah.
And especially if they can create it where it feels like Triple H runs this thing separate from Vince. Like if we,
that's
even if
I'm,
it's
really
kayfabe, even if they can convince us, they'll never be able to convince us that Raw and SmackDown are competition or whatever. But you can convince me that Triple H is really trying to keep this guy and Vince wants him and he's fine. Like you could convince people that.
Yeah, 100%.
You can have crossover.
I think that's
what we want. Right. And you can have Survivor Series now be Raw versus SmackDown versus NXT. Like that.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Or even main roster versus NXT or something. Like, you can now do stuff like that. That would be really cool, you know? So I think that it just opens up the possibilities. I always go, I mean, there's so much to say, but I always talk about like Magic the Gathering. So the card game.
Oh, love it. Right? Love the Magic talk. Always here for it.
Yeah, I think I lose a listener every time, you know what I mean? But it's fine. I think, so.
I was having lunch today and there were guys at the table next to mine playing Magic.
Oh my God. How old?
Downtown, outside. About our age,
you know,
early
30s. I love it. I love
it.
Everything I like. It's got nice. Everyone's aging up with it. I love it. It's beautiful. But so the thing with Magic is like,
I did a double take. I was like, oh shit, is Dan back?
I'm back. Well, yeah, you're like, what kind of fucking 35-year-old guy is going to be doing this? But so I'm saying like, Magic the Gathering, when Richard Garfield designed this game, right, he said he wanted to make a game that was bigger than just what's in the box. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or something that's like those lines. And then you see like, oh, the game is just, all they do is sell pieces, right? And then you play the game the way you play the game. So that some formats have evolved of the game that they didn't even think of. They just make the cards. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally.
And you're like,
I hear you.
Wrestling should be able to evolve like that, where it's like, it's like a dance, you know, where it's not just, oh, here's where the wrestling is. It's like, oh, wrestling. Now here's a movement in wrestling and it gets its own brand. Now, here's the other.
And I mean, I agree. I see
so
the parallel.
Another major win for WWE and wrestling fans is one of the big problems with WWE right now, I've said it a million times, I'll say it now, I'll say it again, is they have a foundational problem, which is titles. They have too many titles, you know, and the titles don't seem to have a lot of meaning. It's like everyone's holding a title. It's a prop.
Right. Some people have more than one.
Right. And they're trying to sell these as having meaning. Like, this is the U.S. championship. This is that. This is that. This, the NXT title is another WWE title that has a really specific meaning. Like, it is the first title that will have, like, whatever they mean by, like, this is an intercontinental title, whatever kind of, like, regional element they try to put to this title. It's going to be the first one where you're like, oh, that's a different kind of champion. That's not just a tag champ. Yeah. In my mind, right. Where you're like, oh, the NXT champ is going to be a different kind of talent. He might not be developed in some ways, but you know the way he's going to be developed, which is like he's going to go to war for 30 minutes at the end of a takeover. You know?
Yeah, and that title has such a fantastic track record, you know, with the people who've had it, how it feels when they've had it, the different like reigns that folks have had when they've had the title. That I agree. And those champions are really different than the ones we see on the main roster.
Yeah. They're just, they're great independent wrestlers. They're like, right. They're taking the independent out of wrestlers, but keeping the style. So they're just great wrestlers, you know, and it's now going to be a title that's going to be, So that's the cool thing is you have a title that matters in a really specific way, you know, and it's been like that for a while, but now it's going to be a title where you're like because some talent I imagine are going to just stay there, you know, and some talents will probably move off of main roster. Like probably the best examples, like a Tyler Breeze will probably go to NXT. He'll go back.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Because that's where he belongs. But like Tommaso Ciampa is an example of a guy. And I don't in my mind, it doesn't hurt any wrestler to go if they're in NXT and they go to main roster and NXT is a USA television show on primetime TV on Wednesday nights run by Triple H.
Day, yeah.
Right.
We're all home on Wednesday night. We're all watching TV.
Right. If there's that, then there's no shame in like, I do an angle on Raw and then I come back. Like I don't see any problem with it. All you know is there's different people running it and the show's going to look different and have more. I don't see any problem. Here's where I see a problem.
Yeah, there's no shame in that game. I think I think it's cool.
It's extremely cool.
It was something you saw more.
It takes out the redundancy of the WWE product. It's like I honestly, what I wish in a perfect world, they would just get rid of just make NXT SmackDown. Like I don't know why I'm not sure why we need SmackDown. You know,
I mean, like we certainly don't need separate titles for both shows. That's what makes NXT being on primetime cool, is that this is the NXT belt. There's just one. There's not like NXT Blue Brand that's on Thursday nights where they have their own separate title. You know, I think that's why it's going to feel very important and cool.
Cool. And you know, Triple H, like you even have things like Moro. He doesn't want to work on the main roster, but he's worked for NXT.
Oh, yeah.
Like Moro's confirmed to be on USA. So you're like, you know, it operates different. You know, there may be talents who like it more. So that's going to be cool. Now, here's the problem for them. The problem for the, so now you have a credible title. The problem for with NXT is not for them. The problem is with AEW, I think. I think, in my mind, this is a major wrench in the AEW plan. They're going to downplay it as much as they want, and what they're going to do, their strategy seems to be, I heard Jericho say, like, a lot of people who watch our show have never even seen WWE or whatever. You're like, what are you talking about, dude? Like, I know he's always working, so you can never...
No one would care. Yeah.
Like, that's a ridiculous thing to say. It's, you know?
Yeah, and he also tweeted out, like, that, like you're welcome, basically, for To people being excited, you know.
For NXT, he's like, I created it. Which, by the way, that's great work. That's Jericho's whole gimmick of, like, everyone owes me a thank you. Yeah. His whole, like, created professional wrestling gimmick. It's great. He's bigger. Jericho is bigger than any brand. It doesn't matter. He's at AEW now. He'll come back to WWE probably. But who knows? So I'm saying, look, here's why this is the problem in my mind, okay?
Yep.
So for AEW, they... Right now, their whole thing is like, we're going to be the we're the place for the no Vince bullshit. Like, we're pro wrestling is like, this is indie wrestling. This is here if you want to be like a real wrestler, like you come here or whatever. And like over there, you go for
and
the
you can
paycheck.
Still be on cable. Yeah, you can come here and still get like mainstream exposure, but without the bullshit.
But now you can go to WWE, you can work at NXT, and still keep your indie style. Like, you're telling me a young guy coming up in the indies is going to, he's probably going to take an NXT contract over an AEW contract. Like, I think that signing young talent, WWE signing young talent, I think the argument to make there is that WWE feels saturated and it feels like false opportunity, right? Where it's like, you're going to get buried. Right. There's no opportunity for you there. But if they're like, hey, we'll bring in an NXT, you're like, that, and you'll have the Matt Riddle route or, you know, right? I think now they're going to have more spots there and they have a place that's on USA television. Now they're actually competing for talent. Where before they had a leg up on WWE because of the thing where it's like, well, I could develop better at AEW or something. I think now this is a big wrinkle. And listen, I know AEW has the cons money, but they don't have WWE money. Because unless they're going to spend their own disposable income, which would be silly, you know, then they're in the business of just losing money. Yeah,
especially this early in their game, you know, like it's too young right now. And I think that, I mean, like, well played by WWE.
First off, AEW should have went to Tuesday nights. I said it right away. Again, I don't have any stats for that. Just feel. I have that feel. I would love, that's something I'm going to ask the Jabroni Egg Nation on Facebook, is that momentum argument. Like, are you more likely to roll into a Wednesday or Tuesday coming off of Raw? You know what I mean? If Raw is what kicks off the week, are you... But anyway, I think Tuesday we're more conditioned because SmackDown was on Tuesday, so we're already conditioned to watch on Tuesday. So that's a void they could have just slotted right into. That seemed like a mistake.
They really should have done that.
And then now NXT is like, oh, well, the counter program. It's like NXT is always on Wednesday nights. People associate Wednesday nights with NXT, so they already have that branding of like, oh, that's when I watched NXT. You know?
Yeah, totally. And it keeps up with your weekly momentum of like, well, Wednesday is NXT night. I'm going to turn it on. But now you get to just turn on your television and not click over to the network.
Right.
And I think that, you know, I think AEW, maybe their plan to begin with was like, oh, well, we're going to do Wednesdays because NXT is on Wednesdays and we're going to steal those eyes. Not really maybe considering that NXT could make this jump to cable TV at the exact same time. Not only that, but NXT starts
actually earlier. They did the jump a month earlier.
Yeah, I know. They're that's evil. Like,
WWE is they are motherfuckers, but they know what they're doing. You know,
100%. I mean, if this is what like Cody and the Khans wanted, like, you know, like they like poked. Like, you know, like a dragon, basically. Like, they shouldn't, you know.
You're telling me that Tony Khan, saw this announcement or heard about it, because, you know, we all knew about it before it was technically announced. He wasn't throwing shit. They've already announced Wednesdays. They can't change it. They'll look weak. You know, you're saying that, and you're telling me the NXT audience is not the same audience as AEW. It's the exact same audience. Get out of here.
It's the exact same audience, and they knew it. Like, that's why their show probably went to Wednesday. But now, like, NXT just, like, fucking flipped it on them.
Yeah. Here's the interesting thing is that do the Wednesday Night Wars, is there any world where it plays out in your mind that, like, Wednesdays from a mainstream audience starts catching more attention and Raw kind of gets shafted a little bit?
Because people love that, like when two shows are competing.
I think I could see that.
Right. I don't know. It's interesting. But what I'm saying is that where AEW does have a leg up is in the Jericho kind of slots, right? Like in that WCW, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, Hogan slot. Like WWE talents who want to leave, like Moxley, the guys who want to leave are not going to want to jump down to NXT. So guys like probably like Rusev and wrestlers who are like, fuck, I'm getting older and this place is just not giving me the opportunities. And I want to like be, I want to be a contender, you know? They might go to AEW. That's my whole analysis in NXT is that like, I'm pumped. Again, I am thinking about the amount of hours. I think it is, you know, I am interested in that. And it, but I'm also, I also think this is really, really cool. The extra hour, like you're saying with commercial time, it's an extra like 30 minutes or something, but like NXT, there's a, you know, they got all these like talents that none of us ever really see, you know, you see them when you go to NXT, live event, but like Bugenhagen, for example, I mean, you never see him.
Yeah, and like there's a lot of talent that you don't hear from. You know what I mean? Like it will be cool to get to hear these people talk more and see how they execute kind of that part of putting on a 2-hour show.
Right.
I don't think NXT is going to be a solid 2-hour block of just like matches. You know, I think there's going to be more opportunity to develop as like a performer outside of the ring.
Right.
So I'm interested to see how that shakes out too. And
how do you feel about here's my thing with AEW. So I've noticed this is that when AEW announces that their talent that they've signed and stuff, I tend to not care because they're not exclusive contracts. Right. So they go like, this guy's signed. And I'm kind of like, all right, cool. Like, but he's still going to wrestle in, I'm still going to see clips of him in, gymnasiums. Like, you know, they're still doing like work in the indies. I'm still going to see them in New Japan.
They're carrying a title from their hometown promotion.
Right. Like, there is part of it that cheapens the product. I know I'm coming out. It feels like I'm against AEW, which, by the way, I just want to say, I know right now, once All Out happens, after that show ends, I'm going to be like, oh my fucking God. It happens every time. Double or Nothing.
Well, not every time, but after like the big ticket pay-per-views, like I think any doubts you have will be maybe minimized a little bit.
Yeah. You forget.
I do agree, though, that the like lack of exclusivity to AEW makes it, like you said, it kind of cheapens it because it's like, you know, there's still this isn't just an AEW person. Whereas, like, you know, that if you want to see like Velveteen Dream, you have to tune into NXT.
There is something like it is kind of the gift and the curse that way, where it's like it's a little bit like your brain wants that commitment of like, oh, he's that guy. Because it's like if you bring in. Let's say you bring in Kota Ibushi for like a stint in AEW, which I imagine they'll do stuff like that because they're just going to pay these guys like, you know, to just pop in or whatever. They pay him the day rate or whatever. And then especially when they start wearing like Bullet Club shirts and like stuff from other, you know, it gets confusing. Yeah. It's like, it feels like in boxing when like they come out with like 5,000 titles and you're like, what? I don't understand boxing. This guy's the champion of what thing? Foundation. You're like, what? I don't get this. But then like UFC, I'm like, I get it. All right. This guy, he's the 185 champ. Got it.
Right. Well, and it's like distracting. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it distracts you from like this person is coming out for an AEW match because they come out and you're like, oh, you're trying to figure out like what is that belt that he's holding? And like, oh, I didn't know that they also wrestled in this other like random promotion. So I think it is it is like a little distracting and makes it less important seeming.
Right. Anyway, I think,
brother.
Yeah. Well, whatever. Aaron, I'm going to let you go. I feel like you gave us a solid NXT analysis.
And yeah, I was happy to do it.
Yeah.
And, I'm happy to be a part of the Road Diaries.
Yeah, I know. I'm out here. I'm feeling less like I'm on the road. Felt like I was back in studio. And
yeah.
By the way, Jabroniak, Jason Carr, getting married this weekend. You want to give him a shout out?
Mazel tov. Congratulations.
Yes, he's very Jewish. And yeah, cool. Anyway.
Oh, man.
All right, Aaron. I'll
yeah,
see you.
Yeah, anyways.
I'll,
great to talk to you.
Good shit. I'll talk to you when I'm back.
Cheers up, Town Nation. Yep, see you soon.
Yes. All right. Goodbye.
All right. Bye, guys. See you.
All right, now it's just me. You were already here a second. Aaron Finney popping in with the full NXT analysis. Now let's say we're cashing out. Let's call somebody else again. Here we go. We got more to discuss.
How about it?
Yo, nasty, the nasty one in studio, as always, but not really in studio, over the phone, under the shirt. Nasty Newman, what up?
Nothing. Where are you?
Yeah, right now I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina, just swinging, babe. Just swinging. Oh, wait, what do you want to talk about? The fat, out of shape sweat hogs here?
Yeah, no, I got nothing but love for North Carolina, I guess.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what, this is a swing state and I'm feeling swinging, baby. yo, listen, I just talked to Aaron about NXT, so I'm getting that out of the way. We're done with NXT. And I want to ask you, I don't know what you've seen, but where are you at on, I want to talk to you about Dolph Ziggler.
All right.
Okay, big discussion on the Facebook group. I pointed out that I think Dolph Ziggler, obviously this podcast, for full disclosure, Dolph Ziggler is a friend of mine and I am biased. I love the guy. He's a great guy. But I do try to separate it. And I really do think he is one of the greats in wrestling right now. And I think with some of the shit he does, I think some of the wrestlers could learn from him in a lot of ways. But the big question I was asking you is that, do you consider Dolph Ziggler a jobber? That's my question to you.
Oh, that's an interesting question. I don't. No, I don't think he's a jobber, but I think I would consider him to be some sort of different sort of, I'm going to call it, he's almost like an enhancement wrestler. But just because he's like
enhancement talent is the term for jobber.
That's what I mean. Like he's not a jobber because he's not like local talent, right? But he's the type of wrestler who enhances the other guy no matter what he does because he's so good,
right?
And so like he's so good at selling, he's so good at making the other guy look great. So is he like a jobber in the traditional sense? No, but he does sort of perform the duties of a jobber a lot of the time.
Right. We always called Kane a jobber to the stars. That's what we always called him, because it'd be like, if you beat Kane, that was like, at a time, it was like, if you beat Kane, that meant like Vince was, you'd be like, oh, Vince is pushing this guy or whatever.
Right.
But not everybody would beat Kane. That's the difference with like Ziggler, where it's like anyone can beat Ziggler, but then also he gets a title shot. Now he's been on this podcast before and has talked about this unique role he's in, where he's like, tell me one wrestler who can jump up and down the card like me, you know? And you're like, it is so fucking true. Almost no wrestler, even guys like Joe, who's like another guy who's kind of in that zone. I feel like he always stays like, He jobs like to an extent or whatever. Even like McIntyre, they still like protect him. Ziggler, they like don't protect at all, and he's still able to believably jump up because of the caliber of match that he puts on. Like when you, my argument with Dolph Ziggler is that I don't think he's a jobber at all, but I understand that sometimes he does the job a lot. You know what I mean? But I feel like we can't, if we're going to complain about Vince's booking all the time, we're going to be Vince, then we can't also take his booking so as the Bible, right?
Right.
So we need to, as fans, people watching this, like spending a lot of hours of our lives, we were just calculating that now with NXT, we'll have 7-9 hours of weekday wrestling programming.
Besides,
that's not counting 205.
Great.
Yeah, great. Great. Wednesday nights is now 4 hours of like some of the most must-watch wrestling, and that's not even Raw.
Well, so there's wrestling Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Tuesday.
Because SmackDown's moving to Fridays.
So it's like child custody. It's like child custody schedule.
Yeah.
Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and then like every other Sunday.
Yeah, it's like you sleeping with your dad and watching sports on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah.
My argument that I was just making, Aaron, I don't want to repeat it, is that, but I'm going to, but let's not get too deep into it, is they should, AEW, like I said, should have taken Tuesday. That was a mistake.
Yeah.
That was
tactical error.
Yeah, SmackDown was leaving that spot, so we're already conditioned to watch wrestling on Tuesdays, and there was NXT on Wednesday anyway before they went on USA, you know, which which is a more watched cable network than TNT. Okay, anyway, what was my point? What were we just talking about? Oh, Ziggler. So we can't take Vince's booking as the Bible. Like, we can't complain about it and then also be like, well, he loses. Like, right? Shouldn't we be more, like, refined where we go, like, yo, the reason that Ziggler's able to jump up and down the card and the reason that he is not a jobber, a guy who loses that much, is because when his matches are over, you're like, that was a fucking sick match. Or he takes a spear from Goldberg and you go, like, yo, what? Like, you notice how good he is at taking a spear. You know what I mean? Which is a big feat.
Yeah. I think that he's I agree. Like he does kind of go anywhere. Like I wouldn't be surprised if he showed up on NXT and like kicked somebody's face off, and you know it would still be great.
Right.
I don't know that I would call him. Yeah, he's not a jobber.
Well, whatever. It's just a kickoff question for the idea. It's like, you know, we get caught up in the nuance, but I'm just saying, like, can we just take a second? I think Dolph Ziggler right now is, like, on fire, but if you look at his wins and losses, he literally has zero wins. Like, actually zero.
See, that stuff doesn't really bother me too much. Like, I don't know if I've said this on the pod before. Like, it sometimes makes me feel like I'm consuming the product in the wrong way, or I'm not, like, enjoying it the right way, where I'm like, I really don't care about, like, I don't see it because it's fictional.
Right.
I don't see it as like, oh, this win-loss record makes it believable that he would win. Like, anybody can win at any given time. It's fucking, in a sport where you can jump off of the giant screen and it's like perfectly normal. Like, anybody can win at any time. Like, I don't really buy the whole aspect of like, oh, he loses all the time, so it doesn't make sense that he beat this guy. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely. I think that wrestling fans struggle with it, and it's not their fault. It's called getting worked by this.
Right.
This. There's a little buzz on here. Hold on. You're getting worked by this framing they have, which is it's a sport. So you think in terms of wins and losses. You know, that's it. But like, I'm like, yo, take the stats to AEW, bro. Like, I don't give. Like, I'm saying that Ziggler. First off, that super kick he did to Reigns to kick off Raw was fucking awesome. The heat he was getting, he came out and he was healing off the whole "it should have been me" thing. Everyone was like, the fact that he was losing was even better because it was just like, tell this guy to shut the fuck up already. And he's getting booed, and you're like, that getting that reaction. Think about all the heels who get no reaction, nothing, no one cares. He had the whole crowd, and then he's able to pop a super kick, literally. Like a fucking Porsche going to 0 to 60. Like, I was out of nowhere. It's like, he got pinned by Roman. Who cares? He came out.
Yeah,
look at the way he looks. The guy's a fucking rock star. Yeah. He's gear. Yeah. He's got like hot pink, awesome custom pants on. He's wearing new gear like every fucking time. He has like, he's always wearing like a cool like jacket. He has a look to him. I don't know. He actually looks like a professional wrestler. You know, which is fucking rare nowadays. It's like, I'm just saying that's not what a jobber is. A jobber is, who's a jobber?
James Ellsworth.
James Ellsworth is a jobber, you know, I mean, and he's the most extreme version of a jobber, but like, who's a jobber?
Cesaro
is a jobber. No, Cesaro's not a jobber. He's not a jobber.
No, Cesaro's great. Fucking the other one. Who's
yeah, like Kurt Hall. I'm sorry. Yeah, Cesaro's an extremely bad example. I apologize for that. Kurt Hawkins is a jobber. Full on. Yeah. Hello?
I just want Ziggler to cut his hair short.
As a bald man, bro, do you think that if you have that hair and you're like, he's like probably 38 or whatever, I mean, don't you have to ride that out till it's gone?
No, man. Look, you don't, if you have a Ferrari or a Porsche, to keep it with that fucking metaphor.
Yeah.
You got a Porsche, you don't keep it in the garage, bro. You take it out, you see what it can do. You got long hair like that. You got to style it all different ways. You got to see what it can do.
That's what I'm
saying.
You
can't just let it wait.
Wait, you're saying he should? You said he should cut his hair? No.
He should cut it. Yeah, but he should like style. He should cut it short or like medium length. Not buzz.
Oh, I see.
I'm just saying, like, you got all that to work with.
Wow. Do something. You had a completely different perspective on the same thing. We both agree, but the way you celebrate hair is through styling. The way I celebrate it is through length.
Like just sheer length. Yeah.
I'm like, if it's long, if you have it, just let it grow. Right. And you're like, no,
you're like me as a kid liking Yokozuna just because he was 600 pounds.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That was mad funny. I was like, what is this? What are you talking about? Because I just assume my assumption is that that's very funny. I love that.
You're a baldist. I mean, we've talked about this.
We've talked about this many times before.
The baldist in you jumped out.
Yo, so I'm going to jump over to... did you see? All right. I don't know if you've seen it, but I'll just talk to you about it. I watched the G1 finals.
No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah. It was Kota Ibushi versus Switchblade Jay White. Kota Ibushi won.
Yeah. I think the first time anybody's won. With the G1 and all the other ones, right? Like, he's like a grand slam.
Oh, I don't know anything about that. But that actually brings me to my point, which is, did you know that Kota Ibushi won the G1?
Yeah, I had heard that.
Oh, how?
Twitter.
From what Twitter account?
Yeah. Just like a random, like somebody I follow retweeted somebody.
How do I miss stuff like this? Like, I actually watched the finals and didn't know who won. I was watching the match. I was like, how is this not spoiled for me? You know what I mean? Like, I was like, this happened like a week ago. I don't know. Anyway, Kota Ibushi, what a fucking stud.
Hey, he's a very handsome man. He's very well built. Ooh. Great wrestler.
Gorgeous. Yeah. Gorgeous. Beautiful man. A beautiful man.
He's like an angel.
I mean, he is an angel. And,
think about the type of man you got to be to capture the heart of Kenny Omega.
Absolutely. I mean, you have to be, a better man than I would say. But Kota Ibushi had a thing which is like, they did like one shot of him where he's so jacked, by the way. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So jacked. And he was looking over his shoulder, you know? But, like, I could tell he was doing a little bit of a pump move because I could see in his hands. You can always see if the guy's flexing through the hands. And so he's turning and looking at the camera. And I was like, this guy's like a fucking statue. Like, I was like, like, oh, my God. He looks so cool. He looks right out of, like, a fucking comic book. Awesome. So Kota Ibushi versus – this means Kota Ibushi versus Okada at Wrestle Kingdom?
Yeah.
Wow. So the reason I bring this up is nothing feels more prestigious than the New Japan Heavyweight Championship title. I barely watch New Japan. I mean, I watch matches that like people tell me to watch. I'm watching more than ever right now. But I mean, there's just something about that. You're like, oh, wow. Then I see Okada. I'm like, oh, there's the champ of wrestling. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm like such WWE mark. Those two clashing is probably the match that I think will, first off, I think it'll be it's going to be next year probably, right? It's normally like January 4th. Wrestle Kingdom is normally the first week in January, I think. But that match has, my point is that, like, something to think about. That match will have more anticipation in my mind than any WWE match will have.
Big fight feel, yeah.
Right, yeah, big fight feels exactly what it is, the BFF. The BFF of that is going to be off the charts because you think about, like, probably at Mania, they'll probably go Seth Reigns, right?
I mean, do we want that?
I'm not saying we want. I'm just saying, gun to the head, if you had to guess about where right now, what's the option, way they're going? It's going to be Seth.
Yeah. It'll be Seth, Randy Orton for some reason.
They might go Seth, Randy. I mean, whatever. But Seth Reigns, that there's no match Seth could have that would have. Because all right, what's a match? What's the match that Seth could have that would be like, oh my god, like the WWE Heavyweight Championship is on the line at WrestleMania, and this is the match of the century. Like, what could be a match that you think could be? What's his biggest, most marquee match for that title? It has to be believable, also.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess, I mean, Reigns is the only thing that comes to mind, but it's like also because it's like I'm getting it mixed up with what I want, which is like him versus like, because like him and are Elias? Him and Strowman the fucking tag champs?
Yeah, we didn't even get into that. That's at my top of my list. I haven't even touched the top of my list. Well, no, NXT is at the top of the list, but yeah. You know how this podcast, it goes all over the place. No,
but I would want that to like dissolve, and I would want it to be Strowman versus at WrestleMania.
Okay, fine. But, so Roman Strowman, that's a possibility. Could that even touch Obushi Okada? In
no, because there's so much. There's like so many years of sort of history, just on their own, right. And then with that title, and it just it has. And plus, there's something about NJPW that's just it just seems
it's like the foreign the foreign mystique.
Yeah.
It has that beautiful, like, I don't fully understand this thing, but I know it matters.
It's exotic. Yeah.
I know. It feels like weird. Like, you're like, oh, am I just being weird? But you're like, also, I'm just saying, anyway. So here's the thing I want to say is that, so Kenta joined the Bullet Club. That Bullet Club, I got to say, I'm not watching New Japan every week, and this is something I want to hear some feedback on from the Jabroniac Nation. Post on the Facebook page, Comedians Wrestling Facebook page, talk about wrestling at 4 in the morning. So the Bullet Club, Kenta joins. That Bullet Club is sad now. I mean, I'm sorry. I know they have great talents in there. I'm not even going to argue about Jay White. I will say Jay White, best match I ever seen him wrestle. Personally, I thought the match was sick. I actually think this is the best I've seen him look. He's getting shredded. I like the guy. He's definitely working out. He's looking good. I even like the stupid facial hair. He's a heel and has a very punchable mug, you know?
Yeah.
I don't get the switchblade gimmick. Like, I'm a knife guy. Like, it doesn't...
Yeah.
It feels very Japanese, but, like, it also feels like one of those non-gimmicks, which wrestling is full of non-gimmicks right now, you know?
I guess the idea is like he's a switchblade, like he like can just like snap on you at any time. If I had to like extrapolate a gimmick, like he's like he embodies a switchblade, like he's suddenly dangerous. Yeah.
Oh, like Donnie Butterfly Knife.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, I don't know. All right. But
Just kind of pulling that out of my ass.
But dude, so I'm saying Jay White, I was not into him, but the most into him I had been. That Bullet Club was like, guys, none of the fucking guys who mattered are there anymore. You know what I mean? No. Like, I'm sorry, like it's like give it a rest, Bullet Club.
The
it's
Gorillas
over.
Of Destiny need to the Gorillas of Destiny need to just put the Bullet Club down and just go off on their own.
It's time to shutter the club. You know what I'm saying? Like it's time to burn down the fucking club and collect the insurance check because it's like Kenta joined. It's like, oh my god! I was like, man, the Bullet Club. You already have like AJ and the fucking club. The club, you have those guys. They're the top guys on WWE right now. You know,
right?
It's just like it's over. I don't know. I'm curious. They must be just still selling those t-shirts, right? Is that just what it is?
100%.
That's just what it is. It's just such a marketable thing.
Yeah, moving units.
Yeah. That's just what it is. Because people still buy them because of like Omega and stuff. People, you know? Anyway.
Exactly.
Right. So that's got to be what it is. Okay. Whatever. I'm just saying, man, is anyone still like, they're playing the same Bullet Club music? And I was like, oof.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't even have Marty. I mean, they got no one. All right. Anyway. So.
Yeah.
What do you do with Bailey?
I mean, I'm biased. You know, I've never really got, I don't want anybody to lose a job. I think that she was fun in NXT. But something just stopped working, and it doesn't seem, I don't know if she ever tried to like fix anything or what she tried to do to kind of restart.
Right.
Or if she was kind of hamstrung just by, you know, it's got to be tougher to be a woman just regardless in that industry. So I don't know, but I don't know.
Did you have to go there? Are you that liberal that you're like, I got to just, we're talking about Bailey stinks, and it's like, it's tough to be a woman. That's why she's not good. I feel like the women are fucking killing it right now. Sasha's fucking killing it. Becky cut one of her best promos, I thought, this week that I'd ever seen her cut. Plus, by the way, I always talk about Becky's look. Like, her hair is looking really cool. I don't know what I think she's putting extensions. She's doing a pony with the, like, ombre extensions. Look very good.
Look. Let me explain myself. What I'm saying is that, like, would you agree that for certain types of people...
Are you part
people,
of the extreme left? Admit it. Yes or no?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
I'm Antifa. Would you agree that for certain people, there are certain roadblocks that aren't there for other types of people?
Yes. 100%.
That's all.
Oh, I agree with the point. I just thought it's fun. I think it's just funny that like
nowadays we gotta
like couch everything we say. It's like I gotta.
Yeah, yeah.
Just so you know, I understand that this. You have to bring in like such a big because it's funny. It's true, but it's true that women have it, especially in an industry like pro wrestling, and they have it's tougher in every industry. You know what I'm saying? But it's funny that you have to bring up. You have to bring that up. You know what I mean?
Bro, because this is going to be listened to by people. Next thing you know, I'm getting canceled on Twitter because I didn't fucking bring up, the plight.
Well, everyone knows on this podcast, I was we talked about it back in the Zig days, how I felt about cancel culture.
Yes.
It was before it was even called cancel culture, remember? I was calling it exile. I was calling it exile culture, I think.
Yeah, you called it exile culture.
Well, that's because my Magic the Gathering brain was like, oh, they're in exile. Yeah. But anyway, but it is like, you got to couch it. It's like, just so you know, I am. You're talking about professional wrestling, and you're like, just so everyone knows, I am an ally, okay? And I want to know that I completely support equality across the board, but I think Doink the Clown can't wrestle. You know? All right. Anyway, no, I know what you meant. I'm just fucking around. But
you send her to NXT. That's to answer your question. Send her to NXT. Put her on Wednesday Nights Live on USA.
That is the answer for Bailey, right? And that is kind of the beauty of NXT. And it's kind of what I was talking about with Aaron. Is like the NXT is. I just said NXT is an across the board win for WWE. There's no downside. There's just no downside. Now they're actually going to make money off NXT. That's something I didn't even mention. People don't even realize NXT was a in the red brand, you know?
Right.
It was operating off the fact that it was development, and that was part of why Vince had the fucking stronghold on it. If it's making money, there's less of a opportunity for him to take talent from something that's working. And then talents like Velveteen Dream, who clearly will belong on the main roster at some point, will go over. That's fine. But guys like Ciampa and Gargano can just stay in NXT, and there's no shame in that at all. It's a different kind of wrestling. It's exciting. It's exciting.
Yeah.
What's your take on it? That AEW, how do they feel about NXT? Shaking in their boots or what? Same night.
I don't think
more popular network.
I don't think they're not concerned, because like Matt Jackson tweeted like, "Oh, we're not scared," about the announcement that they're going live Wednesday. And if they were truly not scared, they would have just not said anything.
Yeah.
So I think they're not unconcerned, because that's kind of the worst case scenario for AEW, is that they're going against a brand that's going to be, I guess, not similar.
They'd be better off on Monday night. They'd be better off going against Raw, I feel like, than going against the product that is almost their exact model. But it's the WWE version of it that's backed by way more money.
With already established characters and already established storylines.
I will say this, the two places that AEW has a stronghold over WWE is tag team wrestling. They have better already.
Right.
They already have the two best tag teams, I think. And I'm really into the Dark Order. I really like those guys. Okay. And people like the Best Friends. I'm not into them. It's just, you know my troubled past with Trent. He just does. Right. He two times didn't want to talk to me. Everybody knows about that. I think tag team wrestling, like, they have Luchasaurus, the boy and his dinosaur or whatever. Like, yeah, that shit is sick. Their tag team wrestling is on fire. And then they have the fact that they're willing to go places WWE won't go. So, the blood and chair shots, like, they have that going for them. The more adult model of it. But who knows? Who knows where NXT can start pushing the boundaries? We don't actually know. You know? They might start bringing in more blood. You know?
Right.
They have the talent to do anything that they can do at AEW. It's very interesting. I really think it's a big problem for NXT, for AEW. I think when you fuck with WWE, you know, it's like... They kind of acted like WWE had no answer for AEW, and we all kind of forgot that NXT is WWE, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, the place where AEW can really shine is comedy. If they could, honestly, I'm not just saying this because I would love to work for them, though I would, but like, they could also like make a show, like get good writers. Which one thing WWE does not. They have good writers. I'm not knocking the writing staff. But Vince oversees it. So if they actually bring in like good writers, they could write a better show, you know?
Yeah, but I'll say this though. If they impose their taste comedically on that, the way that Vince imposes his taste on the WWE, recipe for disaster. They are not funny. Like I'm sorry, but like the Being the Elite stuff, and like anytime you get the Young Bucks, Omega, and Cody in a room improvising or trying to be funny, it is hot garbage.
It's, you know what, I don't love what they do. It's not my kind of thing comedically. Yeah. I love the Bucks though. I really, they can do no wrong by me. I love them. I've said this a million times, many times. But okay, cool. So Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman won the tag titles. We saw that.
Yeah.
Why?
Wow. I don't know, right? It takes them away from the club, right?
Yeah, I mean, I thought the club were...
Unless they're going to build a feud there, but I don't know.
It's like, all right.
I guess we'll see. Yeah.
I guess let's... I mean, the thing is that I'm actually optimistic about it because the writing in WWE right now is pretty good. So I actually think they have like more long-term plans. And speaking of that... Daniel Bryan, they did this reveal on SmackDown. I don't know if you got to that. Did you see who they
were?
What?
No, but just, it's fine.
It's fine. I'll just tell you what happened because you don't need to see it to know. But Daniel Bryan is like, first of all, I love Daniel Bryan. And by the way, the hemp title, the championship?
Yeah.
I've been watching this thing since Mania. They have not lowered the price of it ever. It's $400,
right.
And I'm like, yo, I'll find it on a day where it's like $250 and make a reckless purchase, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, do something stupid.
They're not budging on that price point.
No, it's never been on sale. They've had times where they're like, it's full titles on sale across the board, and then no. I'm like, is this just something I want to own? because I just think it's so, it was so funny. It was just one of the funniest WWE things they ever did. It was just, I loved it. So it's just one of those things that encapsulates like what I love about pro wrestling so much. That I just loved it. And then anyway, Daniel Bryan's killing it. They're like, yo, we have the guy. We have the although I will say this, I'm jumping all over with Daniel Bryan because he is killing it. But I just want to preface that Daniel Bryan, he is killing it. But I still stand by the fact that like he should have his own Alexa Bliss style show where he's like teaching new lessons every week or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, he should do more of this intellectual peer things. Like he should show melting glaciers every week. You know what I mean? You know, I mean, the writing for him is so easy that it's like, why not do it? And he's a great performer. Why? I don't know. They just treat him like he's just some wrestler, but he does a great job. He is this permanent like stink face now. Where he's always, and he just looks like a fucking crunchy vegan D-bag. Like, it's great.
It's like Alan Moore.
Yeah, he looks like Alan Moore. He's like, take my name off of the history books. I love Alan Moore. You guys know. Watchmen, my favorite book. But, so, Daniel Bryan, they reveal he's got a guy in the back with like a fucking, the hood over his head. And then they reveal who it is, and it's like, here, I'm gonna show you who ran over Roman Reigns. And they were saying it was Rowan, like Buddy Murphy said, I saw Rowan, you know.
Yeah.
And he takes the mask off the top of his head, and it's a guy who looks like just like Rowan. Like, I was like, that's fucking funny. I did not guess that. I was like, it's like a guy. They're like, this is the guy. And then, but the cool thing is they ended Raw with Roman Reigns, them all just looking at each other in the eyes, and then it just fades to black. Like, this is just how the episode ended.
Love it.
Yeah, it was dope. Not fade to black, like not like a black mass, like nothing to do with Aleister Black. Right. Don't worry, he's securely in the Jabron zone.
Yeah.
Aleister Black, an example of a talent you would bring up or keep in NXT?
What are you saying?
Is it a talent you would bring up or keep in NXT?
A talent I would bring up or keep in NXT? A talent I would bring up.
I would bring him up also.
Is Dream too obvious of an answer?
No. I'm talking about, no. Dream, obviously. I'm saying Aleister Black. Would you keep it? Now he's on the main roster for whatever, but I'm saying if he was in NXT right now, and it was like, we're in this zone, I'm operating the zone that like some talent stay there, which I think is definitively going to happen. You know?
I mean, I would keep the Undisputed Era there for a long time.
Long time. They're not coming up. There's no, they're going to be the face of NXT.
Yeah.
It's great. It's perfect. It's the whole thing. It's a fucking major. I don't see it. Guys, I'm always finding nitpicks. I don't see any, not even a single downside of this NXT move.
No.
What is the downside? It pops up still Thursday night. What?
I've seen people make the argument that it's like turning it into like a live show on TV will take away from the sort of like risk-takey factor, like, because it is a little bit more stiffer, you know, than the main roster is. It's a little bit more exciting style of wrestling than the main roster is, and then perhaps it'll get watered down, but I mean, it has yet to be seen.
So I don't think that's going to happen. If that happens, obviously, then that is a big downside. Like, I get that. You know, I see potential warnings, but I don't see any. I don't think this is going to happen. Like, I think Triple H is going to stay in charge. I think Vince understands that. I think that's, you know, I don't have any proof of this, but I think that I just can't see that. I can't see Triple H allowing it to happen without him quitting the company. You know what I mean? Like if Vince was like, I'm going to keep control, like you'd hear, oh, Triple H is going to AEW. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Holy shit. Could you imagine?
I mean, anything in wrestling is possible, you know?
Yeah.
The thing that blew my mind the most in wrestling, I remember, is when Kurt Angle, they announced that WWE, they're like, oh, we let Kurt Angle go of his contract, and then he popped up in TNA the next day or something. Yeah. That was fucking crazy. Yeah. Another beautiful thing in wrestling is just that kind of ridiculous shit. But what was I talking about? Oh, I think that some talents will stay there. I also think that it's on cable, and WWE's already moving towards being more extreme, and they're also more extreme, meaning like away from the PG rating. And it's already NXT, which does its own thing, and they're trying to compete with AEW. So I don't think they're going to water it down. I think it's going to be a really good thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes things are just good things. You know what I mean?
right.
It's hard to imagine because wrestling, we're fucking like abused. Like we're like, this thing, like we're always used to it not delivering and like shit thinking it might be good. Then it goes bad and you're excited about something and it dies. So you're like, we're all a little wounded, you know, but I think this might just be a win, you know?
Yeah. We're always just waiting for that shoe to drop. Like, when's it going to go bad?
Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to end this main episode. I feel like we covered all the main shit this week. But we're going to move over on to the fucking Patreon where I'm going to be talking about straight up Steve Austin, and other stuff and other stuff.
I saw some of it. I got to see some of it. It's insane.
Yeah. Well, you're going to join me on the other side?
No, I don't think I can join you. I gotta go to bed. But,
okay, fine. I'm gonna move over to there. But I just want to say, Newman, Jason Carr, Jabroniak, getting married this week. You want to give him a little mazel?
Give him a what?
A mazel tov.
Oh yeah, mazel tov.
Well, you can say whatever you want. Congrats. Was that too Jewish for you?
Well, no. I mean, congratulations. I hope it lasts forever. In a lifetime.
All right. That, you know what? I wish I didn't throw this to you. But everyone, thanks for joining the Cal Road Diaries episode. And check out the Patreon episode where we're talking about straight up fucking Steve Austin and Newman. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah, man.
NXT celebration. And when I get back to town, we'll talk about when do we record this podcast?
Yeah. It's 2 a.m. where you are, you fucking psychopath.
Oh yeah, and I'm gonna be doing work right after that. I still have work to do.
Yeah.
Hey, and I'm gonna hit the gym. No, I'm just kidding. Imagine I go to the gym at 5 a.m. without sleeping.
I mean, you would if you were The Rock. You would.
I know. Maybe I should do it. Hey, everybody, keep watching wrestling, Newman. Kisses.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.